since 2018, the 24th of January has been commemorated as International Day of Education to underscore the importance of education in transforming people's lives. Well, the Girls Education South Sudan seeks to promote girls' access to education in the country. Now, the program is a flagship of the United Kingdom's contribution to development in South Sudan. Now, to talk about the International Day of Education and the Girls Education South Sudan program, we are glad to have with us in the studio the UK's ambassador to South Sudan. Ambassador Guy Warrington is with us here in the studio. Ambassador, good morning and good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning and happy International Day of Education.
Likewise. And we're also glad to have with us here in the studio Girls Education South Sudan Deputy Team Leader Tawanda Madangi. Good morning, Tawanda. Good to have you here in the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having us. And good morning to your listeners as well.
Thank you for being with us here. And we are also honored to have Emily Gray, who is a lead education advisor, Essential Service Team. Good morning, Emily. Good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning. It's so nice to be back with you after some time away.
Welcome back. It's good to have you. Well, let's get to talk about this International Day of Education, of course. Sounds very, very important day. Just briefly, can you tell us what does International Day of Education, or what does this particular day means to you, Mr. Ambassador?
Well, thank you. I mean, obviously, education is one of the best investments that any government can make, and that applies to the government here and also to donors. Education makes sure that we have healthier, wealthier populations, better able to deal with crises and shocks. And I've been working around Africa for the last 10 years, and actually for the last period, the UK has very much focused on education, and particularly education for girls in our development programs, and in particular the target of 12 years free education and quality education for every child. And so it's very important. Turning to South Sudan, I think there are things that we have done and we can celebrate, and there are things that still need to be done. As a result of our programs and our partnerships with the Ministry of Education and others, there are a lot more girls accessing education now in South Sudan than were before. In 2011, there was only 10,000 girls enrolled in secondary schools. There's now more than 70,000. And primary education enrollment has doubled from about 500,000 girls in 2011 to over 1 million now. So we're very proud of that. However, I don't think we can rest on our laurels, and there's a lot more to be done. Over half the children in this country remain out of school. That's 2.8 million children. And girls and the disabled are still disproportionately impacted and not enrolling in schools. So there's an urgent need to reduce dropout and to make sure that people complete their education, the children complete their education, if we're going to secure the future of the young people of South Sudan.
Thank you.
And if you forgive me, I think it's worth saying that it's that's not just a job for the donor community, although the donor community is committed to helping the government. It's a job for the government as well. The president made a decree that primary and secondary education would be free. The government, not the donor community, needs to deliver on the president's promise.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Yes, and Mr. Tawanda, as we heard from the ambassador, been a very, very large increase of number of girls in school, enrolled in school, than it was before. Now, can you just tell us, in your programs, the Girls Education South Sudan, what did you do different that led to this increase of number of girls in school? What are some of the programs that you carry out?
Okay, thank you very much. So we have a number of interventions, the first of which is the behavior change communication, where we utilize the various radio stations throughout South Sudan to engage communities on various topics that where their attitudes need to change. Mm-hmm. At the same time, under the same pillar of behavior change communication, we also have community mobilization. So we distribute radios to families, and families have opportunities to listen to pre-recorded radio sessions at family level. Mm-hmm. This intervention was introduced during the COVID period so that the pandemic could not spread. Mm-hmm. The second component would be the cash transfer. This is a cash that is made available to each and every girl who has demonstrated that they have not only enrolled in school, but they continue to participate and to attend lessons. Mm-hmm. So it is not just a one-off sort of incentive. It's something that is an incentive to all the girls who are regularly attending lectures and lessons. The third component is capitation grants. These are funds that are made to available to schools so that they can operate and implement programs. What is important to note here is that all the primary schools throughout South Sudan, these capitation grants are paid by the government of South Sudan, while the JES donors pay all capitation grants for secondary schools. The fourth component is really about quality education, and one of the highlights of the quality education program is the accelerated secondary education program for teachers, mm-hmm. which recognizes that a majority of teachers in South Sudan, some of them find themselves in schools without the prerequisite secondary school qualifications. So the teacher will teach in the morning, and then in the afternoon is a secondary school student, mm-hmm. and sit for examinations, after which he can then decide to enroll in a pre-service teacher training program or in a service teacher training program. But the assurance that the donors are making is that by the end of the day, mm-hmm. we have a very good quality of teachers that are able to provide quality lessons.
Great. Now, you talked about behavioral and attitude change, basically, in one of your programs. What are some of these behaviors and attitudes that you think needed changing?
Okay, thank you. Our understanding is that in some communities in South Sudan, for instance, if a family gives birth to a child living with a disability, they are not proud to talk about having that child within their family, so they are going to shun, and they will not even tell anybody about it. So the idea that when this child grows up, they need an opportunity also to be exposed to the education. So you have to create this attitude change and an awareness that there's nothing wrong with a child living with a disability. In actual fact, the teachers within schools are prepared to deal with the, you know, to support your child adequately, because your disability will not mean that any form of inability. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically one of the attitude changes. We can spend the whole day
absolutely talking about it, right? Yeah. We'll get back to you as we continue. Emily Gray with us also in the studio. Emily, thank you once again for joining us. Just let's look at, why does the UK care so much about girls' education? Just give us a brief reason as to why.
Absolutely. So the ambassador has touched on a few areas already. I would say the headlines are that when girls and their families are educated, they are more likely to be healthier, more likely to be wealthier, and that means that they have much better qualities of life, but it also supports the economy of a country to grow, because then people have the knowledge and skills that they need to take on to particular jobs, they have the resources they need to start businesses, and it benefits the whole country. Something that's really important for South Sudan is South Sudan is really on the front line of the climate crisis. So we've seen recurring floods. We've also seen real issues with drought as well. And we know that when individuals are educated, they and their communities are much better able to deal with these shocks. They can make decisions, support their families, and they're able to cope better with when these disasters happen. So there are so many benefits of education that we in the UK think that this is one of the best possible investments that we can make in any country, including in South Sudan.
Yes, Ambassador, earlier you did mention about some of the success stories, of course, on a number of girls joining and enrolling in school. Of course, you did mention you will not relax, much as there are some challenges. But is there any particular success stories from this program that keeps the hopes and energies alive on supporting the education program going?
Well, thank you. There's three main programs that we run here, one of which has already been referred to, which is JESS, which is the thing that we've come to talk here today. Mm. I think it's worth saying that that's not just, although we lead the program, we need to give credit to our fellow donors, Canada, the US, the EU, Sweden, and more recently Norway. It's a really good program. It's very much focused on girls. But I think, you know, it's worth saying that since the program started in 2019, and I think this is a very impressive statistic, we've supported more than 1 million girls. That's 1 million girls with cash transfers. We've mentored all these schoolgirls to help them stay in school. And we've, you know, on the back of that, we've had community dialogue, which my colleague referred to, you know, change attitudes towards mm-hmm. girls going into education. But people often say, well, what are you doing to help the boys as well? So yeah. I'm going to cut that one off at the pass.
a lot of
you know, you know, that is one program that we have here. There are two other very large programs here, which the UK supports. We are the second largest donor to a program called Education Cannot Wait. And through our investment in South Sudan, we've contributed to the building of 178 new learning spaces through that program. Mm-hmm. We provided mental health and social support to 2,000 teachers through that program, and we've distributed 2 million textbooks. And just to underline the point, that is to both girls and boys. Mm-hmm. We're also the largest donor to a program called the Global Partnership for Education, and that's the largest global fund for education that exists. Which is helping the education system here, improving the quality of education. And through that, we've contributed to the construction of almost 1,000 learning spaces. We've supported 5,000 teachers to gain their teaching diplomas. And we've distributed, in addition to the previous program, another 5 million textbooks. So the UK is committed to primary and secondary education across the board here. We are very proud of what we've achieved and the outputs, which are not always, frankly, in some of our programs, clearly tangible and empirically proved. But I go back to the fact that over 1 million girls in this country can thank our JESS scheme for the fact that they are or were, because it's been going on since 2019, in education.
Great. All right, if you just join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show. This is where the big conversation begins every morning. My guest this morning here, we have in the studio with us the UK ambassador to South Sudan, and we also have Girls Education South Sudan deputy team leader, and with us as well we have the lead education advisor. Now let's go to the news headlines. When we come back, we get to find out, well, with all the challenges of education in the country, what needs to be done to improve education. Stay tuned. Good morning. We'll be right back.
Breakfast Show news headlines.
A very good morning. It's 8:30 a.m. Fire has burned the only boarding school in Pajok Payam in Eastern Equatorial State. The fire destroyed the private-owned Chema Nursery and Primary Boarding School on Sunday night. All the commissioners of Tony East and Rumbek North counties in Warap and Lek states, respectively, have made a joint appeal for the deployment of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces soldiers to ease tensions between rival border communities. The two commissioners are concerned about the frequent cattle raids, revenge attacks, tax and competition over natural resources between the neighboring Lwajang and Pakam border communities. Well, law enforcement officers in Tarit have received sensitization on human rights and civic and political space to improve their professionalism as they go about their daily duties. And finally, members of the reconstituted National Constitutional Review Commission are meeting in Juba to review and consider the Commission's key internal instruments. Well, these include the Commissioner's Internal Rules of Procedure, the Commission's Action Plan, Budget and the Civic Education and Public Consultation Manuals. Well, that's it for the news headlines. Good morning. You're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show, and this is where the nation's biggest conversations begin every morning. Sebit William continues with the conversation.
Future. A very good morning to you, and yes, thank you to Irene Lasso for the news headlines. As I told you earlier, our guest is still with us here in the studio. That's the good news for you. And yes, let's keep the conversation going, and we go and listen to, or let's talk to Mr. Tawanda Mudangi, who is the deputy team leader of Girls Education South Sudan. You just heard from the news headlines. Well, one of the only boarding school in Eastern Equatorial State just banned yesterday. First, what's your reaction on that?
It is quite unfortunate to hear that a very important and pivotal learning space has been bent to ashes, because I think before we took a break, you were going to ask what needs to be done.
Absolutely.
Or what are some of the key issues that need to be done. And obviously, I know that the ambassador has also alluded to another program which has been creating learning spaces. So yes, we need more learning spaces. Just for your own information, according to a recent study, there are more than 2,000 under the tree schools. So we basically need to reduce that gap and ensure that we have more learning spaces.
Yes, and let's go now to that particular question that we need to talk about, which is the education system in the country. We all know the kind of challenges that, you know, education system is facing, from teachers not getting their salaries on time to what you just mentioned, children learning under trees, and sometimes when it rains, they can't go to school or get their lessons, and to a lot of challenges. Now, what really needs to be done, you know, to ensure or to improve the education system in the country?
Would you like me to answer?
Yes, please, Ambassador. Go ahead.
Well, we've talked a lot about the numbers of people in schools, and that's clearly a big issue, with half the children not attending school. So clearly we need to address that. But there are other issues. There's issues around the quality of education, which are fundamental. It is not sufficient just to get someone to go to a building. They need to receive a quality education, and the teachers who teach them need to be properly trained. The teaching profession needs to be held as a serious profession. The teachers need to be paid. They need to be paid a living wage. And all these issues basically revolve around the quality of education, and that needs to be improved. But there are obviously sort of financial aspects that sit behind that. And as I alluded to earlier, ultimately the donors are here to help, but we're not here to pay for everything.
And the
government of South Sudan needs to meet the fundamental responsibilities of any government, which is to educate its own children. This is a basic human right. It's a human right that's upheld in the South Sudanese constitution. It's a human right contained in the UN Declaration of Human Rights, and it's a commitment that's been made by the president. So one would think that with all that, that would be reflected in the budget, but it's not. The budget for education in this country currently, from the government of South Sudan, is $39 million, which is not sufficient to educate the children of this country. So we regularly call on the government to match our commitment in terms of primary and secondary education. They put a lot of money into tertiary education, but it's primary and secondary education that we are focused on. When you're spending less than $10 per, when you're spending actually $8 per child in this country, that's simply insufficient. So, and you know, that's what's allocated. What's allocated is not necessarily what's delivered. So there's a fundamental issue here around financing. The UK and our other donor partners will always be here for the people of South Sudan, and we will help. But we'd like to move it on from essentially incentivizing people to go to school, to be able to focus on the quality of education, on the quality of teacher training, to get away from a situation where most kids here can't read a simple story by the age of 10. Mm-hmm. We need to improve that. And that's the gap. I mean, the gaps are all over the place, frankly. But that's what we're focusing on.
Great. Emily, you'd like to add on that, on what needs to be done to improve the education system in the country?
Yes, I mean, I think the ambassador has given you a very, very good summary. I also want to underline the issue around capitation grants specifically. So these are the funds that schools need in order to basically be able to keep their doors open. And where the president has decreed free primary and secondary education for all children, that education cannot be free if schools are not able to make essential repairs, to buy chalk, to make sure that they have learning environments that are conducive for children to spend time in. And my colleague Tawanda noted that we have an agreement with the government of South Sudan that we as donors will fund secondary school capitation grants and the government will fund primary school capitation grants. These have not been paid in full in terms of primary capitation grants since 2019. And schools are really struggling without that money. And this leads to them charging families to be able to send their children to school simply so that schools can stay open and keep running. And we know the biggest barrier to education in South Sudan is poverty, is parents not being able to afford to send their children to school. So this is the really tangible ways in which, where the government makes financial commitments, where these are not executed, where schools don't receive the funding that they need, these are the issues that families are facing. They're then not able to afford to send children to school, and we cannot live up to the promises that are being made by the government of South Sudan in terms of ensuring the future of all of its children.
Thank you, Emily. Now, the theme of this year's International Day of Education is Learning for Lasting Peace. What does this mean to you in the context of South Sudan, Mr. Ambassador, before we can come to you, Mr. Tawanga?
Thank you. Well, I mean, this is International Day for Education, and there are all sorts of reasons why education matters. You know, we've touched on some of them, the linkages between education and the fact that, you know, if a young girl is educated, her children are more likely to live longer, that they're more likely to be immunized. And generally the economic benefits of educating the entire population. But there's also obviously a clear link, an empirical link between education and peace and stability. We believe, and studies prove, that there is a relationship between higher levels of education in the population and decreased levels of violence, and clearly that is a problem here in South Sudan. So we see a peace dividend in what we do in education. It helps to strengthen state legitimacy. It helps establish essentially that basic social contract between the government and its people. It means less violence. And frankly, you know, the economic thing and the peace thing, they're linked. If you have economic development, if you have opportunities for employment, and you get those through being educated, you're less likely to go down the path of violence. So, you know, I see a very strong causal link between these two things, and it's particularly pertinent and germane to this country. And it's not just, obviously, peace in the sense of conflicts in terms of intercommunal violence. It's at a more micro level as well, you know, in terms of stopping criminal activity. You know, education equals economic development. Economic development means peace and security.
Thank you. And yes, Mr. Tawanda, you'd like to add on that briefly, please.
I think the ambassador has said it all.
Okay.
Perhaps what I could say is that, you know, by being engaged in education, you know, throughout your life, you don't have time to engage in any antisocial sort of activities. You also understand the importance of mutual coexistence. You have cross-cultural sensitivity. You understand people from other cultures and how they behave and why they behave and how you need to coexist together within a particular society, just to add on to what the ambassador has just said.
Great, thank you. And yes, that's the time we have right now, but just before I let all of you go, just in less than 30 seconds each, please, what would be your final remarks and other messages that you would like to say? I will begin with you, Mr. Tawand. My final message
is just to recognize the fact that although we have said all this, the ambassador in one of his statements alluded to the fact that we still have 2.8 million children out of school, and about between 20 and 60% of that are children living with disability. Yes, through our behavior change communication, we have said children with disability should have access to schools, but are we ready? Do we have sufficient assistive devices to provide them should they need them? Mm-hmm. And secondly, are we sure that all our teachers are adequately equipped to deal with children with disability? So these are my final thoughts.
All right. Emily, what would be your remarks, please?
During my time here in South Sudan, I have met a lot of amazing young people who are fighting against all of the odds that we have spoken about today, and they're managing to stay in education, to fight for their future. And I would say to them, please keep going. Sometimes making the choice to stay in education is very hard, for financial reasons in particular. But it is so crucial to have that foundation moving forward to ensure that you have the skills to give yourself a better future. So my encouragement is really to stick with it, even in the difficult times, and to support each other, to stay in school, to keep learning going forward.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Emily. Ambassador?
So I've got a very simple message. The new school year starts on February the 5th, and we haven't talked about the role of parents and guardians yet. Mm-hmm. It's very important that parents and guardians do everything they can to send their children to school on the 5th of February. If they want their kids to have a future, if they want this country to have a future, that's the role they can play. I understand the economic difficulties, but it's the best investment they will ever make of their time and their money. So on the 5th of February, my simple message is send your children to school. And before I finish, can I also
please go ahead.
Thank Emily, because Emily's about to leave the country and she's been working very hard on education in this country for the last 2 years, and I think I'd be remiss if I didn't thank her publicly for all her work.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ambassador Guy Warrington. Thank you, Emily Gray, for coming. And it's sad that you're leaving us, but hopefully you will come back probably in a different capacity, because they always say that for someone who has drunk from the Nile will always come back. I don't know if you get that, but yes, that is South Sudan for you. Mr. Tawanda, thank you for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate all of you for coming for this program. Thank you so much.